Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Babe. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe. So I feel like we have a lot to babe about today.
We definitely do.
Laura made out with a married man last night.
Oh my God.
What? What?
Nothing. I just, that was, you ambushed me with that.
I did.
We just sat down and had a whole list of things and you led with that.
I wanted your response to be genuine.
Okay, well, my response is a genuine fuck you. But also,
how does it feel to ruin a marriage?
Oh my God, homewrecker. Okay, look. Yes, I did make out with a married man.
Yeah,
however, that being said,
he was really hot. Huh? Oh, he's really hot. And by the way, we already talked about this.
So I don't know why you're bringing
it up. No, we talked about this because I really don't think the onus is on Laura. If she makes out with a guy, you did not fuck him. You drew the line there.
Look, I set a firm boundary. I said, I'm having a beer and fries with this guy who I met at a party and we're having a really nice time. Like, would I fuck him if he wasn't married? Maybe. But like, I said, I really want to make out with him. I don't think making out with people is bad.
Yeah, I think it's
like,
fine.
I don't think that that's a big deal. I didn't give him my phone number. I'm not trying to like continue any sort of flirtation.
You just gave him a little mouth hug.
Yeah.
A little mouth hug.
Babe, we got admonished by a security guard at the restaurant though.
Really? Why?
He said...
He was like, stop hanging out with this married man. He knew.
Well, we had like a couple beers and some french fries and then I told him...
Beers?
Yeah. I know, it was weird. I'd like never drink beer, but then I was like, well, I'm finding my limits.
Someone's trying to blend in with a straight man.
Honey,
she's like, she's like, wait, I can do this again.
I'm like,
I?
All the beer.
Yeah.
I can drink like a draft, like a kind of like a light dry beer, but I can't do like hoppy beer. I'm finding like my beer soft limits and hard limits. But beer and fries is a good combo.
So Laura hasn't talked to a straight guy. I haven't seen you talk to a straight guy in months, which I support.
It's been forever.
Right. But I also am like, okay, well, she also needs to get laid. It's you know, it's the whole...
It's hard because I hate them, but I also need them.
It's the dilemma of the modern straight woman, you know, how like you have to deal with straight men, truly deal with them like in a sexual manner, but they're also terrible. So what do you do?
Yeah.
So we were at this party, like living, laughing and loving. And I look over and she's talking to a guy and I'm like, I haven't seen this happen in so long. I got like full chills. I loved it. And I remember like Christine was there and she was like, we're not going over there. We're not disturbing it. It was like a souffle. It was like
you guys
like,
are really good. I kept waiting for one of you.
No,
but
no
we're
way.
At an age we now. We're at an age now where we like, you have to let it happen. You guys know what's best for me.
I do. And I knew that disrupting it could cause the whole thing
it
to crumble.
It would have crumbled. I would have left.
Yeah.
I would have been like, bye, guys.
So I needed to, you know, you needed to be lost at sea and use him as a life raft. Because I was not, no one was going to go disturb that. Because we were so supportive and it looked great. You guys were getting along. I had no idea he was married.
I mean, didn't know until like we'd been talking for over an hour.
Yeah. He was hot.
He was so hot.
He was very dreamy.
He's European.
Yeah.
I mean... He was like, it was great. I had a really great time. And then I set like a firm boundary of like, I was like, I'm not going to sleep with you. I'm not going back to your hotel and you're not coming back to my apartment. But what I will do
is... Did he want to fuck?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Did he say it?
Yeah.
He was like, let's fuck?
He said, I want to shag you.
He said, I want to shag you?
Yeah, he's Euro. if an American guy said that, it's gross. But when he said it, it was like, lol.
Okay. Did you lol?
Yes. Okay. I lolled hard.
Okay.
I basically just like lolled and trolled him. And then I
can't believe you. It's the difference between, I swear to God, gay guys would have just been like, let's go.
Well, you know.
You know.
Here's the deal. I'm not here to like fuck with anyone.
Gay guys are sluts.
Well, I'm not here to fuck with anyone's relationship. And from what I gathered with doing research.
Yeah.
Because I like.
What's the difference of you making out with him than fucking, honestly, at this point? Like, you're already, he's already cheating. It's like, why not just go for the full thing?
Sex is different in my mind. Like, that's like, you're in a bed, you're going to someone's, like, place of, like, where they're staying. It's, like, more intimate, and then you're, like, it's, like, a thing that happened.
Yeah.
It's, and, like, making out is, like, we had a fun time, and then we parted ways, and it was a fun night.
Yeah.
It's just, like, less stakes.
I get it.
Plus, it's for me, really, truly, for me, it would have made me feel bad to have sex with him.
Yeah.
And I told him that. I was like, I'm not going to have sex with you. Like, it would make me feel bad.
Ordinarily, this would have been a babe, but I think it's a babe.
It's a real babe.
Yeah.
Like, I feel empowered by it. I'm a little...
She needed it. She needed it.
I'm like a true monster.
She was ready. What do you mean?
Well, no, I'm not. Because I don't feel bad about it. And I think that it's fine. If I was dating someone, I would be like, you can, if they made out with someone, I mean, not like right when we like DTR'd the relationship, but like, I think that making out is a healthy human thing to do.
Right, Samantha, or whoever his wife is.
Shut up.
Right, Samantha.
Babe. don't bring me here to shame me, because you truly talk about making out outside of your relationship all the time.
I know. Well, I talk to Jonathan about it.
On an obsessive level.
I talk to Jonathan about
it. Well, I talk to the universe about it. So fuck you.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, whatever. I think it's great.
Anyways.
I think it's good. So that happened. And then last weekend was a journey
last
for
weekend,
you.
I
babed
had...
out.
I had...
there was a babe moment for sure.
There was a true...
You babed hard.
I babed really hard.
You babed the hardest that I've ever seen you babe before.
Well, we had a meetup for...
A fan meetup. Yeah.
The Sexy Unique Podcast. And fans of the podcast that live in Los Angeles. So I organized a meetup for us to like all hang and get to know each other. And we met at Mixology at the Grove. And things just went off the rails.
How are the drinks there? Are they good?
I don't know. I didn't have like a cocktail there.
That was later.
I had, so.
You had like 20,000 drinks.
I drank
that
very
night.
Irresponsibly. Like normally I'm like, oh, if I'm drinking, I'll have like a few drinks and it'll be of the same genre.
You went all around the world.
I went all over the world. I started off at like a Chinese restaurant having like a dragon bowl, like sharing like a bunch of
that's,
like,
I
dragon
think, what,
bowls.
What did it? Because when you drink that shit, you wild out because it's all sugar.
It's
so you go
all
crazy.
All sugar. And I'm pretty sure there was Jaeger in there, which I haven't had since like high school when I used to be a true psychopath. And like, yeah. And then from there, I went to the meet from Chinese restaurant. I went to the meetup and then I had like glasses of white wine and like rosé. And then the meetup, once Mixology shut down, the meetup transferred locations to Blue Collar, a bar down the street, where I had like shots of whiskey.
And it was truly insane.
It was like, too much.
I was at a dinner at a winemaker's house.
And Ryan didn't meet up till later. You didn't come and to the meetup.
Well, I had my dinner. Yeah. I had my dinner. The raw wine fair was in town.
Honey.
Which
I
is
know.
The organic.
We'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that.
So anyway, Domaine Olé, my little wine shop, my home away from home, was hosting this dinner for a winemaker from Europe, from France. And he was in town. It was like it was chic. It was like a wine tasting menu.
Yeah.
It was
you also have to pay to go.
Yeah, I paid.
Does everyone pay to go or just you?
No, everyone paid. Okay. It was like small dinner. It was like 16 people.
Okay.
And hanging out with what? And I was hanging out with like Jill, who works at Domaine Olé. She owns it. And like Courtney. And like it was everything. I mean, I love those girls. And I've like wanted to like be friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've been working on this relationship with these with
con.
The Domaine LA girls for a long
time. It's been like 2 years.
Yeah. It's been 2 years and,
and
thousands of
I feel
of dollars.
Like this finally truly, of course. Yeah. So I think this was my way. This was like finally just me breaking
You're
through.
You're in now.
Oh, I'm totally in.
So
oh,
Ryan is at his winemaker dinner and I was at the Sexy Unique meetup just like wiling out. Mm-hmm. And then he came to the meetup. But
well,
by that
Laura
time
called me and she's like, hey, like literally like
because the fans
like, sounding,
wanted you. I told the
was,
fans you'd be there.
You sounded
there.
Like the Loch Ness monster on the phone. Like literally it was like, I was like, oh my God, like this is like Linda Blair Exorcist. Like I was like literally like my just trembling. And I was like, okay,
well, I wanted to know where you were.
I have to go. And like, I knew that Christine was just doing the pass off. Like we were taking our shifts and my shift was starting in 10 minutes. I had to go watch over you. And Jonathan was like, my boyfriend was like, no, I'm fucking going home. and I went to Blue Collar, and there were some fawns there, and you were really, really drunk.
I was drunk.
I had not seen you that drunk in years, I think.
It's been years. It's at least been a year.
Yeah.
I would say.
It's been years. It's been at least a year.
Yeah, it has. Because I just don't really drink like that. But when you get me around my fans.
Yeah, you get drunk on their love. And
I get drunk on their love and I let them buy me drinks all night and then talk me into like shots of whiskey, which I never do. And just like truly.
You were just truly feeding off the love like a fucking serpent. Like,
no, I needed it.
Like
I needed
sucking
love.
The energy. Like, I loved it. No, it was great. But you were also sucking everything else down.
No, yeah. And so then I blacked out.
I met a fan of yours he flew in from Charlotte, and he's never seen an episode of Vanderpump Rules.
I know, I'm obsessed.
Which I thought was amazing.
That's amazing.
It was just crazy. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was like, how can one be so obsessed with a podcast about a show that they've never seen? But I think it speaks to your talent
as a podcast person. I know. That really, truly made me know that
there was a girl who showed up, who just showed up because her Lyft driver was coming. Who didn't even know what we're talking about.
No, I thought the Lyft driver decided to stop driving because the girl was going to the meetup.
No.
It was the other way around?
The other way around. This girl, I think it was a Lyft line. So I think it was a passenger in the Lyft line with her that was like, oh, I'm going to this meetup. And she was like, okay, I'll just go with you.
Yeah.
So because I go there and she's like, I'm sorry, I've actually never heard of this podcast or done anything. And by the way, the person that she had gone in the Lyft with was gone. So she was just there alone. Hanging out with these people it was truly bizarre.
She loved it.
It was bizarre.
She had a good time. Everyone had a really good time.
Yeah.
I had a great time. But
Laura
then
ran away.
I ran away.
You actually went missing.
Yeah. I did. I like to be adored and then I want to start drama.
She started some drama. So basically what happened was she started dancing with one of her fans and then she fell over.
Oh.
And then you really? Did.
I don't remember.
Like, you hit your head on something. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And then you just, and then he was like, are you okay? And you're like, yeah. And then you just ran out the door.
And well, then you left all your stuff.
Here's
my train of thought in retrospect. And I can tell you why I chose to make that decision.
Enlighten me.
When I get into a situation where I like fall or potentially embarrass myself in public, I immediately just want to run away. And so that's why I fled the scene.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you.
I was like, oh my God.
It all makes sense now.
No, I can tell you in my brain, like in my state, I was like, oh my God, this is humiliating. I've got to go. And then just left.
So.
Which is not the smartest decision because I did leave all my belongings at the bar.
No, everything.
But
so
you were there, so you got them.
Yeah.
And then I just needed to hide out for a while and let the scandal die down.
So two of the fans came up to me and goes, Laura she went away. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, she's gone. And I was like, what? And so we go outside. You're nowhere to be found. I mean, it's awkward because I don't know these people.
Well, they love you.
Yeah. Well,
maybe they needed some alone time with you. And I knew that too. And I wanted to give the fans what they wanted.
That's exactly what you were thinking. You're right.
So, but you found me and it wasn't dark. I was just like, lol.
It wasn't dark. You just were passed out on the ground, basically. No. I mean, kind of.
You're really painting me in a negative light.
No.
You are.
No.
You come in hot with a lot of accusations that I don't appreciate.
You've just been a busy girl.
I'm really living my life and feeling.
No, you are. Things have been really good.
Well,
Things
have been good, but actually.
You finally got paid.
The day after the meetup, I truly was the most hungover I've ever been in my entire life.
Which I didn't really believe because I have not gotten really.
You didn't. You
I didn't
truly
really believe
didn't
it.
Believe the victim in this circumstance.
Well, no, because you were kind of not. You were. Look, I've seen you hungover so many times. I just assumed
Ryan,
this was.
I truly was dead. I woke up in the morning. Two missed calls from you. I think I got home and then tried to like undress and go to bed, but just managed to get my pants and underwear off and then just like passed out on top of the covers with all the lights on in my room, pantless and with my shirt and socks on and all my makeup on. And I was like, fuck. And then woke up, took a shower of shame, like the hottest I could handle. Chugged some water, 2 Advils, went back to bed. And right before I went back to bed, I talked to you on the phone. You were like, babe, the Raw Wine Expo is today and you have to come. Like, you have to. There's no choice. And I was like,
yeah,
you don't understand. I was like, I'm on the verge of death. Like, I don't know. And you were like, no. You were like, no, you're coming to the Raw Wine Expo. I thought
a little hair of the dog.
This is at 10 a.m. And I was like,
the dog would be good.
Looking down the barrel of a loaded gun called the Raw Wine Expo, I truly was like, I could have slept for 48 hours. So I go. So I was like, Ryan's going to flip his shit if I don't get up and go to the expo at 2 p.m. So I just put myself down and tried to power nap from like 10 to 2.
Right.
And then I woke up. And I could barely function. I ate a bowl of like Cheerios and...
Yeah, you were like too hungover to eat.
I was too hungover to eat.
Which is when I know it's really bad.
That's the darkest journey of all.
But I picked you up.
So Ryan came over, picked me up. I couldn't put makeup on. Like all I could do is like put my hair in a high pony and like put a sweatshirt on. And that's like all I could truly do. So we go to this Raw Wine Expo and I'm like, it'll be just like not, I just thought in my head, I didn't know what to expect. Yeah. I was like, truly, wine is the last thing I want right now. And raw wine is like,
it's organic wine.
I know.
Raw wine like, just means organic.
Raw wine means organic, but it also means like funkier wine flavors. Yeah. And so a funky wine is truly, if I could make a list of everything I wanted that day, raw wine sipping on it would have been
at the very bottom
of the list.
Last night at the wine bar, Jonathan was like, hello, do you have any raw wine here? He goes, any raw wines? And they were just like, what? Like, a raw wine, that's just like a name for the festival. Like, there's no such thing as a raw wine. And people were just like, excuse me? And I was like, Jonathan, it's not a raw wine. It's organic. He's like, raw wine? Anyone? And the bartender was so confused.
But so...
Oh, my God.
So... Ryan drags me to the expo. I am truly in a state and I'm like, maybe I can get through this, maybe not.
And I was really hungover too. I honestly, there was a part where I was like, we should just go home because I wasn't feeling well either, but then I powered through.
Well, so we get to the expo and then I realize that this Raw Wine Expo is maybe the chicest event in all of the land.
Because basically it's like a rich white person's hobby.
Yeah, it's just like all white foodies that look like kind
European, because they're like, by the way, people fly in from Europe and shit for this. It's a big deal.
It was truly like
it's a big chic deal.
Scene that I entered. I was the worst dressed person there. I had no makeup. I had like 3 visible zits and like dark circles under my eyes. I was so hungover. I truly thought I was going to die from the hangover that day. Like I had a moment where I was like, am I dying? Like, is this what it feels like to die?
Yeah.
And I'm now at a Raw Wine Expo surrounded by chic people.
You drank some wine.
Well,
a little bit.
Because I felt, what am I supposed to do? I was just going to stand there and like hover
over
you.
Well, you did.
Well, I stood there and just like weirded people out for a really long time. I took like 3 sips of wine and then I was like, I have to sit down. And so I sat down while Ryan like drank more wine. And then I was like, will you just get me? I was like, I'll just get a Korean barbecue burrito because the Koji truck was at this Raw Wine Expo.
That's good.
Yeah,
but you couldn't.
I was too hungover to eat it, and then I was like, "I'm truly ill. Like, I can't. If I can't eat,
that's
like,
really
then things are in a dire place."
Yeah,
so
good.
I like tried to eat this burrito, couldn't do it.
Meanwhile, I'm starting to like hit my groove because I was really hungover, and then all of a sudden, I just basically what happened was I just got kind of drunk again and was fine.
Yeah, Ryan was like. Fun, flirty, fabulous. Like
talking to people.
Running around at the Wild Wine Expo.
Talking
like
to the winemakers.
Yeah. Running like getting to know people.
Yeah, literally socializing.
I walked back into the expo and I was like, I have to just sit down the rest of the time. Like I could not stand up. My head was pounding. I was like, I'm either going to like throw up or like shit my pants. Like there's no, everything is horrible here at the expo. So I just like sat. On the stage and like waited for Ryan to like finish like for an hour while you just like ran around like getting drunk and like tasting wine.
So yummy. I tasted so many amazing wines that day.
I truly was just like, I hate my life right now.
And I was so naive, I really didn't think
How
it was that bad.
How did you not think it was that bad?
I don't know. I just thought like
I could not stand.
I know, but I was like
you were in a really really selfish mode.
Oh yeah, I was at my Raw Wine Expo. My family.
Ryan wanted to do
my sisters.
Ryan wanted to my raw wine, and that was it. I'm like, why did I even come?
Do you have any raw wine here? Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed for him.
You could have gone to the expo on your own.
No, I couldn't have.
You basically did. You went with a shell of a human being. That was me.
I know.
So finally, like, Ryan finished his raw whining.
Yeah.
And he gets the Uber to go back to our apartment. And I truly am, like, at the end of the line.
Yeah.
It's like, I've reached my wits.
Still, you were keeping it pretty chill.
Well, babe, I'm not going to fully, like, I don't know what you expect from me when I say I feel so sick and I can't even sit up in the Uber and I'm just like basically have my head out the window so air is like blowing in my face. And I love that you're like, she's fine. I love that I literally got in the Uber to go to the expo. Like, my outfit alone and presentation should have told you that I'm not fine.
I know, you were looking a little toast.
Was like I'm not there.
Oh, my honey.
And so, but you processed that information. You were like, it's great. We're off to the expo we go.
I really wanted to go. Once a year. It's a big deal.
In the Uber on the way to the expo, I was like, I've never felt this awful in my entire life. And Ryan's like, I still like just don't understand. Like, I just didn't think you were that hungover. I sat on the ground.
I saw what I wanted to see.
Yeah, you did see what you wanted to see. So then we're on the way back from the expo. I have like my head almost out the window, air blowing on my face, just like trying to keep it together. And it dawns on me that like, I'm going to throw up. Like, there is no world.
See it coming.
There's no world in which I'm like not gonna throw up.
Yeah.
And when you're in the back of an Uber, you have a lot of decisions to make about like how you're going to pull off like a successful vom.
And you did it so well, by the way.
You
did an amazing job. It was incredible. It was like, it should have won the Oscar.
So I calculated, like, I was like, I'm going to throw up at some point between now and when I go to bed tonight. Like, there's no version of my life where, like, vomiting is not in my future. So I came to terms with that, and then I calculated, like, how far we were from home. And I was like, I will probably throw up before I reach home because there's traffic and, like,
right,
we're still, like, at least 2 miles away, and this is just, like, this is my journey, this is my life, like, I have to face this fear. So then we pulled up at, like, then in my mouth, you know when you're like about to throw up and your mouth starts watering really badly, mm-hmm, and you're like, oh my God, I have literally 10 to 15 seconds to like figure out what I'm going to do about this and like mitigate the damage. So we pulled to a stoplight and then I got the mouth water and then I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I just knew, I was like, I have to open the door, just like lean out the car
and vomit
and like vomit quickly before
the lights
turned
green. It was so graceful.
You didn't take off the seatbelt so I could like kind of get a good lean going, like vomited. And then I was like, excuse me, sir, do you mind pulling over?
You were so calm and collected. And he was really nice, too.
He was really nice.
Our Uber driver gets MVP.
Yeah. So he pulled over, and then I, like...
He was like, sure. Like, you did not...
He was like, sure.
He was not flustered at all. He was like, whatever.
He was actually, like, really chill about it.
Yeah.
And so then he pulled over, and then I fully vomited for, like, 5 minutes.
No.
No, for, like, 3 minutes.
No. Like, a minute.
Okay. Well, I did like the rest.
But it was a lot of vomit.
It was a lot of vomit. Yeah. I didn't even know that I had that much in me because I didn't.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. And so then he gave me a water and I like finished my journey and then we came home. And then you ordered pizza and I couldn't eat. I just like,
I know.
I was still so hungover and then I vomited again before I went to bed.
I have not had a hangover like that.
Maybe I'm
years.
The babe of the week because...
You kind of are the babe of the week. Like, when you were like, what are we going to talk about this week? I'm like, well, I think we got our bases covered with you.
You just had an intervention on me.
No. I mean, look, that happens sometimes, you know? It's like, I haven't vomited in a while, probably like 2 years maybe. I mean, but I thought I was done. I remember I had gone probably 3 years without vomiting, and I just thought, oh, I can't vomit it anymore. That's not possible.
No.
And then...
Just when you think it's not possible,
right,
life will tell you that
well,
it is
definitely
possible.
Well, it's all about, by the way,
it's all
mixing.
About, yeah, mixing alcohols and, like, knowing how much you, like,
and also just having, like, 15
drinker.
Drinks.
Yeah, it was just... Ahead. It was, like, it spiraled really out of control, and I paid the price.
Oh, honey.
Honey... Am I okay? I'm like, do I need to go to rehab?
No, God, you're fine.
I vomited today in a workout class.
That's fine.
But that was just from working out.
It's just from working out, honey. You're all good.
Wow.
It's all fine. It's all going to be okay.
I feel like I'm being painted like a like a mess.
It's weird. Like, you're just vomiting outside of Ubers. You're cheating. Like, you're dating married men.
I'm not dating anyone.
It's like crazy. Like, what's next? You know what I mean? Just a random like cocaine habit. Like, no. What's the next journey?
I've already been there.
Yeah, it's true.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So,
yeah. What else are we going to talk about? Let's not talk about me anymore.
Oh, I've never heard you say that before. First.
I was truly thinking of like, who's going to be the babe of the week? Like really racking my brain and not coming and up with anything. And like, when you can't think of someone, it's the babe
then
of
you're
the
babe.
Is you. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. If you're having to rack your brain for too long, the babe is sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
You
look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror and the babe. Babe is.
Yeah.
There she is. Yeah.
Because I was scrolling through Instagram this morning and I was like, Misha Barton posted a really good post.
Misha's a forever babe.
We can talk about Misha because she posted this picture of her like smiling.
It was psychotic,
like staring into the camera and she goes, maybe I'm just too happy. And
it was
like,
that's it.
Honey.
That's exactly it.
You're not.
Yeah.
Honey.
And she was giving this like maniacal smile.
Yeah.
And...
It was a babe. Moment.
Yeah,
and
it was a total.
I was like,
moment.
"Oh, Misha's the babe of the week," but little did I know.
I know you beat Misha.
C'est moi.
I met Misha once.
Did you?
I met Misha once a night that I vomited. Actually, I went to. I think I've told you the story. I think maybe I don't know. I went. Oh. What?
I know the story. Well, tell it again because I love it.
I went to.
You really upset some people.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell
well,
the story.
I went to, this is bad. I guess I'll name names. I feel
name
bad.
Name names, whatever.
There was, me and my friend Carrie, we had dinner at my house. It was a very, you know, civilized night in. And then we got a text.
Always starts that way.
Yeah. And then we got a text, I think, from my drug dealer at the time, who was like, oh, we're going to Westway. You know, you should come. So we're like, okay, let's do that. Westway was this.
This is back when you lived in New York.
Yeah. It was this club back in the day that was like, you know, happening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we go over to my drug dealer's house and the girl from The Ring is there.
Oh.
Samara.
Samara.
Yeah. And then I was like,
she's unwell.
Incredible.
She recently, I think, was involved in like a scandal where she dropped someone off at the hospital that was like ODing and drove away. And they might have died. I'm not sure.
I think I know what you're talking about.
There's some darkness there.
There's Samara. Samara still lives on.
Samara is actually like iconic. Like she's an iconic human being, but like you can't play Samara in a
God,
state.
She really did do that. I remember reading
she did.
That. So, that's fucked up.
It's really fucked
up. Oh my God.
I don't think she got in trouble for it, but it doesn't matter if you get in trouble for that or not.
Your soul
is in trouble.
You're marked for life. You're going to have you're going to be like dead in 7 days. you know what I mean?
7 days.
7 days.
Yeah.
So she was there and I was like, lol. And then we all went together. And what happened? Oh yeah, we went to Westway and we ran into some friends and Misha was at their table and my friend was like, do you want to meet Misha? And I was like, kind of no, because here's the thing.
No.
I don't like to meet the babes.
And
you've written
about Misha a lot, haven't you?
Of course.
Like,
she's my muse.
Both you and I have like written a ton of content.
I think
about
I wrote
Misha.
Like one where she like showed up to Coachella like on the road, like someone pranked her. And she showed up to Coachella and no one was there.
It's better to not meet your idols.
No. It's
just let them live.
No, you don't want to meet your train wrecks. No. You don't want to meet your train wrecks. You don't want to meet your idols. Mm-mm. Like, I don't want to meet any of these people because it's too dark for me. It's too dark up close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Misha was there and I was really uncomfortable and I was like, hey. And then I like ran away and my friend was like, you left Misha there. Why'd you leave Misha?
She was like, I can't believe how rude you were to Misha. She kept getting mad at you for it, didn't she?
It was like
it's crazy to me that you would treat Misha this way.
It was a little tense.
This was a friend of ours that was really repped hard for Misha. Like they hung out for a long time. Which is a TBD.
Yeah, so that was it. And then I was on so much Percocet. I went home and I vomited.
That's a babe. You babed out.
Oh, honey, I was a babe for 5 years.
Yeah,
I was a total babe.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It was bad.
I kind of don't trust people that have never been a babe.
Yeah, you know? I know. Well, no. I mean, I think I need
a little bit of a mess.
The ones that have said they've never babed out are liars, and they're actually a forever babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
It's true.
It's true. But I mean, I'm glad that
I can't believe you would treat Misha. You ignored Misha.
What about Misha?
What about Misha?
She's still there.
Please go talk to Misha.
She's still there. She's still talking to you. Come on. Go talk to Misha. She wants friends. Go talk to her. She's lonely. Come on. Come on, talk to Misha. She won't bite. Unless she knows you have drugs. So, and then who knows? Wild animal.
Anything could happen.
So, anywho, what were we with Misha? Oh, yeah.
Misha also did one of my favorite performances this year.
When she had the breakdown.
When she had a mental break from reality and was dosed with too much GHB or something and hung over a fence and screamed into the void. She was all of us in that moment.
She said, I'll be your conduit.
She laughed maniacally and fell off a fence. I truly was I feel you.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all screamed, I'll be your conduit. To no one.
I'll be your conduit. I was living for that moment. It's an iconic moment.
Yeah.
Anyone and everyone should Google and know. My salad's here, so I gotta pause, but
okay.
I'm gonna take a salad break and then we're gonna come back. Okay, so we're back from a salad.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, can I talk about it?
Yeah. Don't be weird.
Well, I was thinking about...
You were thinking about... You had a thought while I was salading.
Yeah. I get very inspired watching you eat a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about who's kind of a babe in my life right now. It's my parents.
They are.
So my little brother got sent away to Utah.
Bless him.
Utah. And for being a bad boy, which is very sad and traumatic and all that stuff. And now they're kind of empty nesters, a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so they kind of just don't know what to do with themselves.
Because your little brother was on crazy amounts of drugs and very depressed.
Yeah, and he took up a lot of their energy and he was their obsession for a long time and now he's gone, girl.
Oh my God. I have to say, as a kid that also had the exact same journey as your brother, in high school and was sent away to therapeutic boarding school, I love him.
I know. Well, I mean, hopefully, I think he's doing great, blah, blah, blah.
Shines a lot of light on the fucked up family element because it takes a village.
It takes a lot to burn down a village.
Yeah. It takes a village to create a troubled teen.
Yes. Of course. Mm-hmm. A lot of things go into it. But now they're kind of empty nesters and they're kind of my dad is retired and he's kind of
I didn't know that. I thought.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he called me today and he was I don't really know what to do anymore because Jason was kind of my thing and he's gone now. So I just don't have much of a life. My dad was like, I don't have, and he doesn't. And I feel really bad because I'm really busy and I don't really have time to hang out with him that much.
You're like, anyways, dad, sorry, that sucks. No, but you're making him take you to the Grove.
I am. I'm like, dad, you want to get something to do? Get a life? Take me to the Grove to get the new iPhone. So he's doing that today.
That's nice. You're giving him purpose.
I love my dad so much and I love my stepmom so much. I love the fuck out of them and I just want the best for them and I just want them to find their truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard when you're mid-60s. I mean...
I think you have to undo a lot of...
There's got
to
be a...
In order to grow, you have to be able to like undo all the bad patterns that you've taught yourself. Yeah. So, and it just gets harder the older you get.
I just want them to find like hobbies. I want them to like do things. I want them to like go to workout classes and shit. Like, I want them to like live there. I want them to like go enrich their minds. Go to a fucking museum.
Are
you
telling them this?
Yeah.
I love that you're saying this on this podcast.
Why? Is it weird?
No.
Is it weird?
No, I mean, it's fine.
It's been a big babe part of my life.
It has been a big babe part of your life.
They've been babing out. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, it's weird. And I feel like I've kind of, as the kid, have been kind of relegated to this role of being like the one of sound mind and mm-hmm. giving advice, which is kind of an interesting twist. But it's true. You switch places with your parents. You just, I mean, everyone says it and it's true.
I mean, my parents, like my whole family is like a babe. Truly, like they can't not babe. Like their natural state is babe. It's like, I'm going home for a week for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And
when are you leaving?
I leave on Monday.
Oh, really?
I know. Yeah.
Oh, sad.
Sad. But my parents,
we're not recording the podcast.
No, we can record it. You can just call me. Oh. You can Skype me.
No, I don't want to do that. No, I'm serious. Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
I'm not going to Skype you.
So we're just going to skip a week.
How am I going to record? On Skype?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I record it.
I like being with you.
Well, I guess that this is announcing that we're going to miss a week.
Yeah. I'm not Skyping. I'm sorry. Our fans deserve better than that.
I would argue that our fans deserve a once a week thing. No. And it would be really fun and funny.
No, we need
Well, if week. You want us to do an episode, you should tweet at Ryan O'Conn, justice for babe, and we'll do an episode.
Well, yeah, let's have them write in, but I need to see an overwhelming response to change my mind.
Oh, God, you're such an attention whore.
No, I'm serious. I'm just...
What's your big problem here?
I don't want to Skype. That feels weird. That's embarrassing.
Why is that embarrassing?
To like be like... Oh, on Skype, like, I can't hear you. Breaking up.
You like, put headphones...
Like, technology.
You put headphones into your computer.
Well, guess what? That's not going to work because my fucking headphone socket is broken.
Surprise, surprise. That's what happens when you buy a computer while Mercury is in retrograde.
I know. I need to get a new one.
So anyways, I'm going home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, so we can't even do it because my fucking headphones are, like, everything's broken.
Okay,
so sorry.
Well, okay, anyways... I'm upset.
No. Anyway, but I'm Anyways, sure we'll have a lot to talk about once you return.
Yeah, we will. I'm going home for Thanksgiving, and like already there's been like a communication. My family specializes in like total communication breakdown. Like mm-hmm. No one is able to communicate properly with each other.
It's true.
It's a miracle that like I can communicate well with the world and like mm-hmm. myself and my friends because my family are like, they're a lost
cause. It's like a comical game of telephone gone
wrong. I get a text from my stepmom. She texts me and my sister, Jenny, my southern stepmom. And she's like, what do you guys want to do for Thanksgiving dinner? And like, then I get a text from my dad on a separate text chain. My dad texts me and my sister and he asks what we're going to do on Thanksgiving. My sister doesn't respond. So I respond for her and I'm like, she's not going to be here until like, her flight gets in at like 4:30 in the afternoon on Thanksgiving. Yeah,
oh,
which
wow.
is like a real troll.
What the fuck?
To everyone.
Why'd she do that?
I don't know because she's
that's weird.
Sarah is in a place of just wanting to troll with all her decisions.
That's real
because she feels
relate.
Like she needs a lot of justice, and she does.
That's real. You know what? Trolling is about justice.
Trolling is about justice.
It's how you get yours.
So she's trolling. So I answer, and I'm like, "Well, Sarah doesn't get in until 4:30, and like
that's a power move.
Yeah, it's a real fuck.
Anyways, move. Don't start dinner until I'm there. Yeah. Like,
She texted my mom separately and she was like, you better have food ready when I get there. So I'm like, Sarah doesn't get in. So maybe we could either do lunch and I could come and have lunch with you early. Cause they want to go have lunch at they want to go have lunch at the country club, but the country club closes at 3:00. So I was like, well, I can come earlier, but also you should loop in my brother, Jake, who also lives in Oklahoma and is not included on these text chains about like the Thanksgiving
plan.
Oh,
it's crazy. Yeah, there's so much back and forth.
So there's so much back
and
forth.
And the onus always falls on you to keep
on
everything
me.
Together.
Yeah, I'm the glue that
holds. I'm the same way in my family.
Yeah. And
it's
so
insane.
Then my mom calls me and my mom now like Does your mom do this? Where she, my mom calls me and all I do is go, hey, what's up? And then she launches into a 20-minute monologue.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah.
My mom could talk about getting cut off at like the grocery store for 45 minutes. She could give a TED talk.
My mom gave me a TED talk about what should she order from Whole Foods, just prepared food for Thanksgiving, and what do I think of that? And this is what she'd want to order, but do we even like turkey?
Does that make you sad that it's like going to be from Whole Foods? I get so upset.
The thing is, I love to cook.
Yeah.
But my sister getting in at 4:30 is really throws a wrench into like cooking, because right. then my dad and Jenny want to go to lunch at the country. It's like there's a no whole time. Thing. So there's yeah. no time. And then also my mom is in the middle of like trying to sell her house. So she's stressed about that. And it's like making a big mess in the kitchen just feels like it's just yeah. like not the time. But I'll cook something else like while I'm there. I'm not yeah. worried about that. But yeah, like a prepared meal from
it's sad.
I'm like,
we've gone to like restaurant like, dinners before for Thanksgiving, and it's so fucking bleak.
Yeah. So it's well, I'm looking down the barrel of a bleak Thanksgiving. Yeah. So then my mom's like, well, what do you want to do? And then I'm like, well, I need to tell my mom, like, and then it's weird because my parents are divorced. So then I have to like, and when it comes to holidays and you have divorced parents, it's always like so awkward to like,
I know.
It's like when you have to be the one that's like, oh, well, dad wants to do this. And like, you can come if you want or not. Like, but I'm not trying to like leave you out. It's like puts me in a weird position where I feel like I'm like choosing sides, even though it's like, we're all adults and there's no sides to be chosen anymore. But so then I'm like, well, maybe you and dad should like text each other or like figure it out. But my dad doesn't like texting anyone. He likes getting an assistant. He likes getting Jenny to do all the texting. He likes a communicator on his behalf always.
I'm already exhausted. The amount of mechanics.
No,
the
it's
amount
so,
of like
it's so many.
The gymnastics that go into just planning.
What we decided
a
we're
thing.
Gonna do. I was like, we should just decide and then have like one Thanksgiving thing that we all do. Like that to me would be the ideal situation where it's right. like we either. I was like, I laid out all the options. Then my dad called me and then he's like, what should we do? And I was like, here's the three options that we could do. We can do a lunch at the country club at noon, and then like a dinner either when Sarah gets in or a dinner the next day, or we can just wait and all do a dinner when Sarah gets in, or we can wait and all do a dinner the next day. But so then he was like, well, I'll have Jenny text Linda, like my mom, and like figure out. It's like, great. Sounds really adult.
Wow.
So then he texted. So then they all decided we're going to do a lunch at noon. Then my mom is going to do like a dinner with Sarah when she gets in. Then we're going to do another dinner the next night. So now we're having like three Thanksgiving events.
It's too much.
This is like not a good plan. But I also am like, I hate being the person that has to like deal with all of, like, I feel like I'm the one that can like effectively deal and like manage the situation. But I also really resent being put in that position because I would love it if like my family was just very functional. But I mean, I guess like I can.
Does your
wish
family
that
go,
forever,
does your
be.
Family go to therapy?
Like family therapy?
No, just like therapy in general. Like, does your mom go to therapy?
No. My dad goes to a therapist that he goes to a therapist named Tony that's retired, but just still sees my dad.
I wish I could quit you.
No, and like he's been going to Tony for years and has never gotten better at life. Like,
well, that's the thing. People who are in therapy like chronically, and they're like in their 50s or 60s. And I see them and I'm like, you're psychotic. What are you doing every week in therapy? Are you like, are you playing solitary? Are you playing Operation?
He's not like.
Like, what are you doing?
Tony is not like enabling my dad to like grow as a person.
No, he's enabling him to really keep going to therapy and make money.
Yeah. And so the best thing about Tony was that I met him the last time I was in Oklahoma City and my dad was like, let's go to therapy together. And so.
Wait, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I didn't tell
Maybe
you this.
I don't know.
No. So, okay. So my dad's like, we're going to go to therapy because I've been like working on a book proposal for a really long time, writing about my teen years and my family. And like, I wrote this Broadly article called Doing Meth with My Stepmom that but got a big like audience online. And so I'm kind of building off of that, but it was like a thing. Like, and it talks about very frankly, just about my relationship with this former stepmom, not my current stepmom.
Right.
And my relationship with my dad. And so he's like, knows that I've been working and writing about this. So
he's like shitting his pants.
He's like, we're going to go to therapy. Yeah. We're going to go to Tony. So we go to Tony And
then Tony!
I'm like, maybe my dad and I will like talk, like we can talk and like have like some sort of communication breakthrough. But really, the therapy with Tony was I sat in a chair and then Tony explained to me that my dad was the way he is because in 1947, 2 months after my dad was born, a huge tornado swept through. I'm not kidding. A huge tornado swept through his small town of Shattuck, Oklahoma, and killed hundreds of people. It was like a violent tornado, and all killed all his mom's friends. So then she was a psycho to him.
Oh no!
So then that's why he's been a subpar father.
That's why a tornado is the reason why he's a tornado to you.
I was like, so you tornado brought me here tornado to tell me that like
a tornado
to for no one to really like take responsibility for their actions.
No,
but we're
not.
Just gonna like blame this on a tornado.
Let's absolve all responsibility and then blame a tornado. That's a first. I've never heard of
it was incredible.
I've never heard
like,
of a tornado being blamed.
I truly like being... I left that. I was like, cheers to you, Tony, because like that is
that
a whole
takes
new
creative, like that's creative thinking.
No, it was like he took it
that's
all
innovative.
The way back and then no one was responsible for anything.
And
it's
of course
just
when
a tornado.
Your dad hears that, it's easy because it's like, oh, great. So it's not my fault. It's all tornado's fault. Love you, XO. Like literally, like it's like great. Like,
yeah.
There was nothing to work on really because it's a tornado.
It was
so,
it was masterful.
Well, it's not my fault. It's
it was
a tornado.
Masterful therapy.
Build a tornado. Go build a tornado because I don't need to pay for this. It's a tornado's fault. Like that's insane.
It was crazy.
That's so insane. So, I mean, like I think that happens.
But I think that happens a lot.
I know.
I think that a lot of like, and I'm a huge believer in therapy, and like therapy has like very much helped me in times of like darkness and stuff. But I'm also a huge believer in like taking stock
breaks.
Of my life and my decisions.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Like,
and taking ownership.
Yeah. And
responsibility.
Like looking at my problems and figuring out how I'm responsible for them. So
it's
if
incredible
you're not
how
really willing
don't.
To do that, you can always like, like say whatever to your therapist and like make it manipulate the situation to where they're your like biggest supporter and like making you feel like you're doing everything right. But like I feel like I know so many people like that, but that like use their therapist in that way. But I mean,
it's crazy like in a breakup when someone's like, oh, I had no idea, it's all their fault, like they take no responsibility, and you're like, oh my god. Mm-hmm. Like honey,
the best is when people go to therapy and then like they use that to then tell you that what their therapist has said negatively about you and like how you're a mess and you need to figure your life out according to their therapist who's never met you. And like
that's totally bonkers.
It's a bonkers
situation. I had an amazing therapist who dumped me because his hours are from 10 to 6 Monday through Friday.
Oh yeah.
And I had to go to work.
Well, what do people who work like regular
Babe,
jobs do
I don't
for therapy?
Know I honestly don't know because I had to go to therapy. I wanted to go to, I went back to Will and Grace and I wanted to go back into therapy. And my therapist, again, who I fucking love, was like, sorry, babe, 10 to 6, Monday through Friday. And I was like, babe, I was like, can you please? And I'd seen him for a year and a half. I mean, it's not like it was a random thing. And I was like, well, can we maybe still do therapy? Can you like come in an hour early?
On
and
a
we
weekend?
Can go? Yeah. Or something. He's like, nope, sorry. And I was just like,
therapists are all about like their boundaries, which is gets to be
I know,
a really
but
weird
I,
situation.
But I trolled him all the time. I was like, 10 to 6, honey, who the fuck are you seeing? Like Sofia Coppola and that's it? Like
well, didn't he like, charge, doesn't he charge like insane?
Yeah, they all do though.
Yeah,
they
but
all
like,
do.
If you can find affordable therapy, it's like great.
Yeah, but so many charge
but
up
so
the
so many
union.
Charge crazy and like insurance doesn't cover it. It's like a whole.
My insurance does. It's Writers Guild.
To
but
find,
yeah, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, but like my insurance does not. Like my insurance does cover in network, but most therapists that are in network have reached their quota of people that they will see that are covered by insurance. So like they won't take on any new people.
Right.
It's just like a whole mess. It's very difficult to like find good mental health.
Yeah.
Help when you need it.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It's very, very hard. I experienced that on, I have complete access to everything. I have the money, I have the resources, I have all that stuff. And even finding a therapist when I was working on Will and Grace who could see me on a weekend or whatever, or in the morning was so hard. I couldn't tell you how many people were just like, no, 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 no. And I was like, okay. And I don't know. It's so profoundly broken.
Yeah. No, it was difficult. I thankfully like got to go to, I found like affordable therapy at the Wright Institute, but, and they work on like a sliding scale
but
based on your
moved.
Income. But then she moved. She like she like graduated and right. became like a real therapist right. and then hiked up the price a little bit. But even that was like, I couldn't handle how right. much that was.
So. Are you going back?
I don't know. I got the name of some more local, like affordable therapy clinics.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Because I also like, she now is in like DTLA. So that's hard to get to. And like, so now I might
you'll go need therapy just
and,
for that commute.
Yeah. No, I told her that. I like cracked that joke. She did not lol.
I love when the lols are returned to sender. It's yeah. literally like it's just like, nope, sorry, I'm not receiving the lol.
No, she did not receive my lol.
Did not return to sender. I love it. It's yeah. so powerful.
It was a powerful
people
moment.
Just like building up the lol wall.
Yeah.
And you can't get through the lol wall.
I know. It was a hard gnaw on my lol.
It's kind of amazing.
It was amazing. I respected
went to a,
it.
I went to a party in LA, a Who's Jew party, like, because it was celebrating some Jewish holiday. It was like a dinner party, and everyone there was like some LA nightmare person, mm-hmm. just like true. And I would like, I sat at a table and I was like trying to like be funny, and like, I'm funny, like, whatever. If there's one thing I like believe in, it's like my ability to like tell a lol.
Yeah.
It's like what I do for a living, like, yeah. whatever. And everyone was just like, everyone like literally like, made a point to like not laugh or acknowledge me. It was a power move. It was like, I was like, my lols were being rejected mm-hmm. because it was power. And yeah. I was like, so it made me so incensed with rage. The only person that lolled was Nick Kroll, who was sitting at my table, because he like didn't care. He's Nick Kroll. He can lol freely. He doesn't give a shit. He's Nick Kroll. He's richer than sin.
He has nothing to prove.
He has nothing to prove. He can give out the lols freely.
Yeah.
He's a generous lol giver.
I'm a generous lol giver too.
Of course.
A lol is a lol to me.
I want a lol.
Yeah.
Like
I enter every situation of my, I wake up
I
in the morning.
I get so many opportunities.
Hoping that I will lol. Like I'm ready to fill up my lol tank.
I have an open mind for this because I go in wanting to lol. I don't ever reject a lol due to a power move. That's insane to
no.
me.
No. I don't have it in me to like power move someone's lol with a gnoll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really... It's disturbing.
It is.
So I love it. The psychotic. Only one at the table was just Nick Kroll lolling. Well, and I was just like, okay, I'll take it.
Lol achieved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if the only person I can make at the table lol is Nick Kroll, then I've made Done. It's fine. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All is good.
Yeah. Okay, I have to go.
You're going to the Grove?
I have to go. No, I'm meeting my family. They like to eat at 4, which is so weird.
Where are you meeting them?
South Beverly Grill.
You have to go now?
Well, like in 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'm gonna have like water and there's like need my stuff. I don't know. Are we done?
I guess.
How long have we been working? Like recording for?
How long have we been working for? We've been long enough. We can end it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like what? 45 minutes? It's been an hour?
It's been, yeah, we're good.
That's good, right?
Yeah. So, well, you don't just throw the mic down.
No, I wasn't going to.
God.
I wasn't going to throw the mic down. Stop.
You're
it.
Really intense today.
Why? I am pretty intense today.
You are really intense
I know, because I'm just in soothe. I woke up with these zits on my fucking face. 2 zits.
I know, but we covered them up.
Yeah, she put this thing called concealer on me, which I've never used before, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a facial tomorrow, and I'm also getting the new iPhone today. It was just a lot. I'm feeling really...
Oh, God. This is great.
I'm feeling really unsoothed today.
He's really unsoothed today.
I don't
and
know.
You're taking it out on me, putting me on blast. But guess what? I stand by my decisions.
I just want you to be open to your fans.
Guess what?
Give them what they deserve.
I practice something called radical honesty.
Yeah.
So
do it.
Yeah. So I did.
I know. I had to force it.
You didn't force anything.
Not so radical anymore.
I'm not trying to like deny anything. Anyways, this is scandalous. I hope that we do an episode next week.
We won't because I can't. My fucking headphones. I told you a piece of my headphone got lodged in the hole.
Okay, fine. So... I will leave you with this wisdom because I like to end with like a wise thing to say or just like a thought, which is make it your goal to walk into every situation being open to lols and don't power move with a null.
No. And if
and
someone's...
And think about if you're trying... If you...
If someone's not being lol and you're giving so many lols and you're getting none in return, you need to go fill up your lol tank somewhere else.
Yeah, you need to go find someone who will fill up your lol tank with the lols you deserve. Good.
Yeah, we accept the lols we think we deserve.
Yeah, we do.
That's true.
All right, happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Smooch, thankful for you.
Thankful for you.
Bye-bye.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.